We're studying for the book of Proverbs. If you have your Bible with you, turn to the book of Proverbs. If you don't have your Bible with you, like I use this, I'll excuse you now and you can run home and get it. But no, look down the aisle, see if there's one nearby that you can get. But we'll be looking at the book of Proverbs a lot, tonight a lot. Looking at the Psalms a little bit, looking over in 1 Kings, I think, on one occasion. So maybe even the book of James in the New Testament. We're continuing our study as we have been for several weeks. In the Old Testament, looking at each one of the books as an overview, I have been giving out a study guide, and I'd come up with this elaborate story on how to explain why I didn't have it. Really, if you really want to boil down to a few words, I just forgot to type it this time until I thought about it this morning. And other things were going on this afternoon, so I decided that we'd just one of the other stories, and then I'll move on. One of the other stories I was going to use was that if I have your outline, you know, which is one page, and then I have my outline, which is four pages, I have to make sure that I hit the bases on your page, every point, and on all four of my pages, and it takes more time. And so, I just thought I'd leave that out so we'd get out of here quicker, so I better hurry along. Book of Proverbs was was used as Judaism's guidebook to living successfully. A Hebrew proverb is defined like this: a likeness, a comparison, a symbolic statement, or a parable. So it's kind of a broad scope, kind of definition. Look at Proverbs 29 and verse 5. I mean, we could look at any of them, but I chose to go over there. 29 verse 5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. There's wisdom in that, isn't it? There's wisdom in that. A symbolic statement or a comparison. It's now, if we were using our English word proverb, it means a short, pithy statement, which condenses the wisdom of experience. Now, Charles Spurgeon was a noted preacher. I think over in England, he may have come over to this country. I forget now which, but somebody produced a book called Spurgeon's Proverbs and Sayings with Notes. Evidently, they went through his sermons and pulled out little pithy statements made in there, short statements. But here are two or three of them that were interesting as I read. There are thousands of them in this book that I got. Number one, if thou wilt not pray for thyself, who can pray for thee? Page 292. Number two, and this was a little bit humorous. If you were not strangers here, the dogs of the world would not bark at you. You know, we talk about ourselves being strangers and pilgrims on this earth. And it was said of Abraham that he was a stranger wandering in this land. Then a third one, page 306 in this book, said, kindle not a fire which you cannot put out. That has probably double meanings, you know. Don't start a fire somewhere, you know, that you can't put out. Don't start something with somebody unless you finish it. The Hebrew term, though, is as I mentioned, is quite a bit broader in its scope than the English term proverb. The book of Proverbs does not appeal to the law. does not appeal to Moses. It doesn't appeal to any institutional authority. Basically, it's a book that appeals to good judgment. We would probably call it common sense. Good judgment and wisdom. Now, if we look again back in chapter 1, first proverb, we get a little idea of what the Proverbs are all about. In Proverbs, the key to understanding, the writer says, and the writer primarily is Solomon, says the key to understanding is fear the Lord, of the Lord, reverential awe or respect. Key to having wisdom or understanding. Chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So the key to understanding and wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Having respect for God. Having respect for God. If we had respect for God, we would understand more of the Bible when we read it. If we had respect for God, we'd get along a whole lot better in this world, wouldn't we? Writer of Proverbs is credited to Solomon, but there are two, three of the Proverbs, a couple of them it mentions somebody else. Look at Solomon, look at Proverbs 30, verse 1. This is going to be almost like a Bible class. Proverbs 30, verse 1. See, there it says, the words of Agur, Agur, the son of Jacob, his utterance, this man declared to Ithiel and Ucal. Well, obviously Solomon didn't write that. 31 also. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. So at least part of that, one of the most famous of the Proverbs about the who can find a virtuous woman or a wife down in verse 10, appears to have been written by someone other than Solomon. Now, Solomon, it's said of Solomon that he wrote 3,000 Proverbs, but there are only 375, and I did not count them, somebody else did. 375 Proverbs in the books of, quote, Proverbs. So, Solomon wrote a lot more Proverbs than are recorded in the book of Proverbs. Look at 1 Kings 4:32 is where I amassed this amount of information. And somebody else guided me in the direction. 1 Kings 4:32. It's talking about Solomon. Solomon's wisdom, going back to 30, said, thus Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of the men of the east and all the wisdom of Egypt. He was wiser than all men. It names a whole bunch of people. He was wiser. He spoke, in verse 32, he spoke 3,000 proverbs and his songs were 1,005. So, he was a very prolific writer, you might say. 3,000 Proverbs and 1,005 songs. Now, as far as the time of writing, likely Solomon would have completed these no later than 930 B.C. is what one writer said. Now, there's a section, look at Proverbs 25. I keep saying Psalms. Look at Proverbs 25. Or Proverbs 25. Each numbered book has several Proverbs in it. 25 verse 1 said, these also are Proverbs of Solomon, which the men of Hezekiah of Judah copied. Now you would have never, I would have never found that unless somebody led me in that direction. I've read these, but you know, you just don't remember things like that. You remember that a soft answer turns away wrath. which is one of the proverbs in here. But I don't hold in my memory about Hezekiah copying, men of Hezekiah copying this. So Hezekiah lived about 200 years later from Solomon. And so they were compiled at a later time and put together. If Solomon wrote 3,000 proverbs, probably these were some of the proverbs that he wrote and were not, had not been compiled or pulled together in 700 or so B.C. And at that time, these men got together and pulled together a few more that were written by Solomon, however. Okay, what are some lessons? Well, it's difficult to put a handle on a theme in the book other than it's about wisdom. First nine chapters of Proverbs personifies wisdom. Personification, if you remember or don't remember from from back in your English classes, has to do with giving inanimate beings or things personalities, dealing with them as if they were a person. Sometimes in personification, a rock will speak or the winds will speak. So inanimate objects are given personalities. Now listen to this in Proverbs chapter 1, beginning of verse 20. Proverbs 1, beginning verse 20 down through 23. Wisdom calls aloud outside. Well, wisdom is not, you know, it's personified. It's a way of speech. She raises her voice in the open squares. She cries out in the chief concourses at the openings of the gates in the city. She speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. So wisdom is speaking, and that's the way Solomon, the form of speech that he used, or the way of speaking that he used in order to seek to get his point across. In the Bible, wisdom is God-oriented and is practical. It's not talking about the wisdom out here that allows somebody to go to the moon, or go to Mars. You probably know a few people that you'd like to send on that first, on that first ship going to Mars. But in the Bible, as well as outside the Bible, wisdom is not always synonymous with knowledge. You've seen people get what we would call book learning, but they didn't have sense enough to get in and out of the rain. They didn't have common sense. They didn't have wisdom. They didn't have understanding. Now, wisdom, the way it would be used in the Bible, wisdom is the right use of knowledge, is the right use of insight, skill to God's glory. In fact, James 1 in verse 5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally. So there's no reason that we should lack at least some wisdom. I don't think God's going to give us a whole lot of wisdom if we don't have some knowledge. But based upon the knowledge we have, God will give us wisdom, which should spur us on to get more knowledge. so we can have more wisdom. We got a bunch of people in this country that I wish had more wisdom than they do have. We call them statesmen when they do have it. Sometimes we call them one term when they don't. Wisdom originates in the fear of the Lord, in respect of the Lord. Chapter 1, verse 7 we looked at. Let's look at chapter 9 of Proverbs, verse 10. Chapter 9, verse 10 says somewhat similar to what the first verse, verse 7 said. Chapter 9, verse 10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So as far as our relationship to God, as far as I being able to understand things of a spiritual nature, we need to have respect for God. A lot of people don't have respect for God. They use God's name in vain. They use God's name every which way but the way they ought to be using it. And they don't show proper respect for God. Psalm 111, this is not a proverb, but it does say something that I'd like to read. Psalm 111, verse 10. Let's go back one book from Proverbs. 111, verse 10. Let's see if this doesn't ring a bell. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Says the same thing, see? A good understanding have all those who do His commandments. His praise endures forever. These are songs of praise, but also it has that little bit of wisdom in it. Okay, if you were on the outline, I'd be about halfway through or better. The Bible defines wisdom in terms of our relationship with God instead of talking about formal education. Which is really knowledge. Look at James chapter. We're going to the New Testament now. James chapter 3. James, of course, is the book we're studying on Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. We haven't started it in the first chapter. We're still in the introduction. So you can probably come within the next 2 or 3 weeks and still get in on the beginning of that. In chapter 3, beginning of verse 13, wisdom is discussed. Who's wise and understanding among you, James says. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come from above or descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, I'm reading the New King James, confusion and every evil thing are there. Then it says, verse 17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable. These are calmer words, aren't they? These are words I like to be around. Of course, you like to be around people that are like this. Gentle, willing to be entreated, I believe the King James is willing to yield. Full of mercy, good fruits, full of good fruits, without partiality, you know, don't pick favorites, and without hypocrisy. Without hypocrisy. We get enough of that, you know, at Halloween with a mask, not knowing who a person is. Without folks putting on masks to go to church or throughout the week. Worldly wisdom, according to James, then would be a knowledge apart from God's direction. In fact, worldly wisdom is often in opposition to what God wants and what God desires. True wisdom, then, is the ordering of my life according to God's word. According to God's counsel, rather than my own counsel, or the counsel of my peers. Now, some of the things we need to have in attaining true wisdom, we need to have, according to Proverbs 2:6, let's just read Proverbs 2 and verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He's a shield to those who walk upright. Now, if the Lord gives wisdom and His mouth comes, out of His mouth comes knowledge and understanding, I want to get a hold of some of that. And I got my finger on it right here, on my Bible. We need a revelation from God, but we already have it. We already have it. There's some folks still waiting. And they're going to be waiting to doomsday. We have a revelation from God in the Bible. We need to have a seeking heart according to chapter 2, and we're in it, chapter 2, and I can't figure out what verse that is. Verse 6. For the Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. The Lord gives wisdom, from His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. So we got to have a seeking heart. We got to be seeking. In chapter 2 and look at the second verse, so that you incline your ear to wisdom, apply your heart to understanding, cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding and seek her as silver. That's wisdom. Personified. Search for her as for a hidden treasure. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. So that's the attitude that we need to have. We need to have that seeking heart. We need, Jesus put it this way in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed is he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. We need to have a submissive heart. We'll look at a psalm there. Psalm 119. It's a long one. We'll call it well with the verse 98. Psalm 119, verse 98. A submissive heart. Listen to the psalmist as David speaks here. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. Said in Psalm 1, upon your word, I meditate upon your law, I meditate day and night. Your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts, he says. He has a submissive heart. It sounds like somebody that's wanting to do what God desires for them to do. I also want to look at the blessings of wisdom. Look at Proverbs 8:32. Proverbs 8:32. Therefore, listen to me, my children. One was read through 36. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, God says, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my door, and whoever finds me finds life. Well, still speaking of wisdom, isn't it? And obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death. The power of the tongue. Just a few things to say about the tongue. The tongue reveals character of a person a lot of times, I think. Look at Proverbs 4, 23. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Anything that we say and do begins in the heart, but it comes out of our mouth by way of that tongue. Chapter 15, 1 and 2. Chapter 15, 1 and 2. A soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. You know, a lot of times you see police will talk about how they deal with situations where they're trying to get maybe a hostage situation. And the way they try to work is they don't try to inflame that situation. They try to calm it down. They try to be the friend of whoever it is having difficulties inside their brain or somehow or the other, and is taking somebody hostage. So here, in anything that we're doing, though we're not in those situations, soft answers in situations that we might be in, that we could maybe give a hard answer, a harsh word. And there are some people a little bit softer with their answers than other people. I'm not quite as soft. And sometimes as I get older, I get harder if I'm not careful with my voice. If you don't believe it, ask my dog. You might even ask Janice. She might tell you too. But a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly, but the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. And in verse 4, a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. The perverseness, and there's a difference, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. 21:23. Proverbs 21:23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. Boy, my mouth has got me in trouble. Especially when I was young and foolish. Well, stayed with me. Some of it stayed with me. But we're going to be studying that on Wednesday night, especially when we get to chapter 3 on the tongue about it. You know, it's need to bridle it, and because there's a lot of things that pours forth from my mouth that should never see the light of day, but does. To guide in the use of the tongue, the Proverbs point out, I'll just mention these. Let your words be few. I think the first part of Proverbs 17:27. Keep your words honest. Look at Proverbs 16:13. Proverbs 16:13. Righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him who speaks what is right. Most times you can't go wrong by doing right. You can't go wrong by speaking right. Most of the time. Keep your words calm. 17:27. I think that's right. 17:27. It also says in the first part of verse 27 of Proverbs 17:27. He who has knowledge spares his words. That's an idea of few words. You've heard people say of a person that he's a man of few words. Usually he doesn't get into trouble. Usually he's a fellow that's liked. But notice in that second part, it says a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. You've seen people that just have a soft way of dealing with situations. They have a soft voice. And sometimes I really can see why the Lord gave me sons instead of girls. I was able to raise the boys. I don't know whether I was able to raise them right. But because of the way I was raised, pretty strict. I raised them pretty strict, even though maybe they didn't do what I said all the time behind my back. That's the way it goes with all. But I have trouble sometimes with my grandkids who are girls. Because I speak a little harsh. Janice has to caution me when they're with me, when we're together. Because grandkids talk back to grandpas these days. And I don't like that. And my problem is I let it be known that I don't like it. And I can tell them, if they don't like the way I'm driving, I can pull over on the side of the road and let them walk. And they don't like that, these girls don't. Boys used to understand it, But my daddy, he wasn't around too much, but when he said, he said, man, if you don't like what I'm saying, there's a road. That was the wrong way to raise me, but I never took the road. I stayed at home, and I paid attention to what he was saying. The tongue is characterized, and also the dangers of misuse of the tongue. It's seen in James chapter 3, which we'll look at on Sunday night. Now, I just want to mention two or three others in passing. If you want a psalm, a proverb, rather, to stick with you, this was used, I think, by my granddaughter, Mike's little girl, at his funeral. She used these verses, Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. It was used on the website that they had on the web where people could visit and see how he was doing during his sickness. These are the words of Proverbs 3, 5 through 7. These are words you could need to commit to memory if you could. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Says a whole lot, then. Read sometimes when you have the opportunity, Proverbs 31, especially you women. Proverbs 31, 10 through 12, talk about the worth far above rubies if you find a virtuous woman. Husband can trust her. Proverbs 31, 25 through 31. She has strength and honor. She guards her tongue. She opens her mouth with wisdom and kindness. Tends her household and is not idle. She fears the Lord and she shall be praised. Those are some things mentioned about the virtuous woman. In Proverbs 16, 16 through 19, it says that there are six things that the Lord hates. And I've always wondered why it says, yes, seven are an abomination to him. I've tried to do some research on why it says six and then it says seven, because if you number them, there are seven. Seven was a whole number to the Israelites, to the Jews, I believe, And even in the Old Testament and the New Testament, the number seven is used quite a bit. That may be the reason. It may be that six things here are sins that are not liked by God, but number seven is an abomination to Him. One of them is, maybe. But a proud look, haughtiness, lying tongue, deceitful hands that shed innocent blood. Writer said that's murderous hands that's talking about. A heart that devises wickedness. Remember it says out of the heart cometh all kind of things. Feet swift to run to evil. Ever ready to get into this and that and the other. False witness that speaks lies. sowing discord among brethren, troublemakers. Fundamental principle of life is in Proverbs 1:7a, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Having respect for God is the beginning of wisdom. We'll close with that tonight. Our next lesson that I'll be speaking on Sunday night, let's see, next week will be the fourth Sunday. Is there a fifth Sunday this month? No. First Sunday in January, we'll look at the book of Ecclesiastes. If there's one here tonight not a Christian, you need to respond to the gospel. You have this opportunity to do that at this time. If you as a Christian desire the prayers of this congregation, we'd be glad to pray for you, pray with you, and if you wish to rededicate your life to Christ, you have that opportunity tonight as we stand, and Jerry leads us in the song, invitation song. Shall we stand, please?